I know what I know. Let the now and know what you know. I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, Episode 5, Season 4. We need to get down to business, gentlemen, because I'm telling you, the season's beginning without us. I don't think we have enough traction. I don't think that we have enough focus. We need to really dig in this episode, if at all possible. What do you think of that?
I got my shovel.
Yeah. I knew you. Yeah. Yeah.
Happening. Oh, no, sorry. Camps.
No, camps. It is moving fast. Forward so fast at this point, Coach. I don't know if we can keep up with these kids. They're too fast. They're too furious. They're too agile on their skates and in their worlds.
There's going to be some cuts made.
I know. I think they might cut us. That's what I'm saying. Right. Cut your parents. We don't need them anymore. Let's cut them.
Yep.
Well, talking about cuts, Coach Ralston, you have a little update on the Gretzky thing that you were talking about.
I wanted to just talk about the Gretzky Hlinka Cup that we mentioned. A bunch of California players playing in that, and the team
which had two first names, as I recall. Is that true?
I think you brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I find team, that to be really scary. Go ahead.
I mean, this is going to be quick. Team didn't come home with the gold, weren't quite able to make it to the championship. Lost. I think they lost to the eventual winners, Canada. But they did manage to win the bronze medal game and came home with at least a medal. And out of the California players, tied for first out of all players at the tournament, California's Trevor Connolly, 10 points in 5 games. So really put himself on the map with that one. And other players we mentioned, Aiden Park and who's the other guy? Chase Stefanik both managed to put in 3 goals. So nice. A good, real good showing from the California contingent in USA Hockey.
What team won?
Also, I think Canada won. Oh. I hope I'm right about that. the other thing I was going to mention.
I actually kind of hope you're not right about that, because the Canadians in general just have a wealth of, they have too much success in the game. And I would like to see it spread around a little bit more. Sorry, people from Canada. We love you, but you beat us all the time. It would be nice if you'd let us win.
Well, the way I look at it is, if you lose in the semis to a team, you'd kind of like the team that beat you to win. That's the way I look at it.
Unless it's Canada, in which case you'd kind of like them to lose and then lose again somehow, third or second or third time. I don't know if you've updated your own notes on that, but that's the way I'd like to see it.
I see. That's your take on that. Okay. Well,
I don't think it's going to matter. Yeah.
Should we give the Canadians the email address so when they want to lynch you, Randy, they know where to go?
Sure. That is Lance Alexander at nextstar.com. That's Lance Alexander at nextstar.com.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So I also had just been looking at the women since we brought them up. A couple of the women got real close to making the a couple of the national teams from California. A little harder to tell because they in the way that they list those rankings or those personnel, they didn't seem to have their hometown. But since we were sort of questioning that before, at least two that we know were invited to the camps, I guess I would put that, or the final camp. But neither of them did manage to punch their ticket out of the final camp. So that's kind of a shame, but they're both real good players. So, California hockey definitely representing.
Hey, sometimes getting the invite is important. I mean, you got to get that before you start sticking on the teams, and then you got to start sticking on the team before you become an integral part, probably.
Yeah, it could take a few attempts to make. I mean, they're both, I believe both of them have college scholarship offers already. So, you know, no one's too upset, I'm sure. It's nice to be added to those camps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, to go a little further on this. Now, how far below those camps are the women's national team? So, I mean, like, if you get out of that camp,
this was the camp to make the team. They were finalists.
Oh, so this was the actual. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They were about as close as you can get, but the final rosters came out. Now the women, it's a little harder to get a feel for it because the women have two different teams. They have like a U18 national. Well, I mean, they have the women's, you know, national team that is, you know, regardless of age. And then they have the U18 team, and then they have what's called the collegiate team. So as an example, there's a young woman that, funny enough, my son played against in U15. She played for a team. She played for a boys team, U15 team out of St. Louis, the St. Louis Junior Blues. Her name is Joy Dunn. So I know that she's a 05, we didn't see a whole lot of women that still playing hockey at that age. Now she ended up, even though people were saying she's one of the better players, better women players for the U18 team, she's playing for the collegiate team. So it seems like there's some decisions that have to be made, maybe in some cases there. The collegiate team in general is women playing that are already in college, I think. So I think that's intended to be maybe a little bit stronger of a team because the players are in general older. But for whatever reason, she decided not to play the U18 team and played the collegiate team. So there's, you know, it's a little harder to get a, you know, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows this better than we do. I'm gonna lean on you, Randy. You gotta fill us in since you have some skin in the game here. You know, your daughter might be looking at one of these teams one day. Let's get on it, man. Coach. You should be correcting me.
You got it, Coach. I'm correcting you. I gotta tell you, you're absolutely wrong about all of that. And as soon as I have more information, I will update you. But you know what it's like. That's one of the reasons why we do the podcast is because you're kind of blinded by what the future could be, by kind of this radiant now. Like right now is all you worry about, and so you don't look that far down the path. I don't think any of us did. I don't know. Now maybe Lance, you did a little bit more than us because it seemed like your kids were kind of drawn to that down that path. But I don't think Coach, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you and I were really forward thinking when we were talking about our kids in hockey. I think that's kind
well,
of
also
something.
You know, to get into the national program, there's some steps you have to take. And we, I don't believe either of us ever took those steps. We never had our kids go to the, any of the camps.
Select camp.
We never went to a select camp. Any of us, and we've known a bunch of other kids that did and got through, you know, a round or two here or there.
I remember when Lance didn't get invited to a camp, and he was so pissed off. You'll have to ask him about this, but he was so mad. He was like, "Why am I not getting invited to the camp?"
Well, another thing about those camps is that now I've heard the other side of it. I've heard of like I'm pretty sure that. Lance's son, maybe both of his sons, at least I know for one of them, made a camp or made a select list when his son did not even go to the camp. So this was a big controversy. You know, a lot of the angry people or the people that were at the camp going, how are these kids that were not even here because they were playing at some, you know, select XYZ thing, couldn't even come. How did they make the camp? Yes.
Well, connections, right? Because it wasn't just my kid, it was like practically the entire team.
Right. Yeah, there was a bunch of kids.
There were like 12 guys from our team that made that the final camp. But I meant, I guess the justification was is that they were, that team was ranked like number 3 in the nation, and due to some scheduling snafu, weren't available to participate.
Yeah, it calls into question the whole sort of process, and there's plenty of people that, you know, love to throw out the, well, it's just another money grab, comment, which the older you get, the more suspicious people seem to get of money grab type of things.
I think we all know that hockey shenanigans are part of the landscape of hockey, and it almost has gotten to the point where if you don't have some shenanigans, you don't feel like you're playing youth hockey. Right. You know, if somebody isn't being treated unnaturally good and somebody on your team is not being treated unnaturally bad, it doesn't feel like a hockey season to me anymore. You know, it's like, for no reason, someone is exalted and someone is crapped upon every year on our teams. And I still have absolutely no reason why it happens, because I'm like, that kid that's getting crapped upon is almost exactly the same skill level as that kid being exalted. So congratulations, hockey, you win again.
Yeah, you never can really tell. But that's funny that you say that. Like, would it be really a satisfying season at this point if there wasn't some craziness going on at some point that you could look back upon and go, remember that was happening?
And it just wouldn't seem like a hockey season. I mean, honestly, right. a hockey season without turbulence, it would feel like, I don't know. It would feel like weightlessness, like you're floating around like, oh, I'm untethered to anything. Let's just keep playing hockey. I will say that on the Ducks team last year, we were told that only our AAA team for my daughter was the only team that did not have excruciating conflict during the year. Every other AAA team had some really angry conflict on it.
And did you feel left out, like you missed out?
No, luckily I was on a second AA boys team, and there was enough controversy. You know, there was enough there that I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, that's my true. Goodness. Oh, yeah. Give me the good stuff. I'm opening a vein right now.
Well, don't you kind of think, too, that, you know, you get as it starts to get towards the end here, where it's getting very much for Lance and myself, you look back and you start to think, well, things must have gotten better. But I have to say, Randy, you are the one who provides us pretty much, you know, the stories that remind me that it's not gotten in one bit better. In fact, it might have actually gotten worse.
Exactly.
Because of the stories you've told me the last couple of years.
Next week, we're going to be talking about teams that folded. In the middle of the season or during, you know, like before the season even starts. I think that that's got some stories even this year that are pretty good. So I'm just teasing that. But yeah, I've already like conducted a brief informal survey on a couple of teams that have already folded in Caja. And oh, my God, it's good. I mean, it's bad, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yes, indeed.
To sit and start a small fire, begin to grill some bratwurst or something. And
now, if you can't see
possibly fiddle while this
if you cannot see the horizon line by the fires of the bridges you've burnt, Raleigh, you're not doing it right. You are not doing it right. Anyway, so Lance, I haven't gotten you in here yet. Are there any things that you're thinking like, you know, like, because we're talking about far reaching, like, you know, like putting our kids on a pathway. Do you believe that you know, we're doing it better now? I mean, that we are doing it more thoughtfully now? Or do you think that we're just pinballing around all the time and no matter what you plan, it doesn't really matter?
I mean, I think for most parents, no matter what you plan, there's always going to be a wrench and you're going to go off in a different direction, you know. But I think about the fact that, and we've talked about this so many times, that, you know, like I said, if I had it to do over again, I would not be so focused on, you know, double A versus single A versus whatever, especially, you know, before they start checking. I mean, if I had to do over again, the boys would have been focused 110% on getting better every day. And if that guy happens, the coach that's going to get him there is coaching a B team, then so be it. You know, it should just be all about development, because a lot of us get caught up in chasing that next level, that the grass is going to be greener, you know. But I do know of some kids that stayed behind, just worked on their game, you know, and they've gone far. So
now the grass is greener. Have you ever gone somewhere in the grass? I know that first year with the Kings, that had to be grass is greener, wasn't it? I mean, because you left the Bears, and let's face it, anybody that leaves the Bears,
oh, got here to we go,
a shocking weight off of their shoulders, and getting to a place where, you know, like people, the, you know, it had to be greener, didn't it? Or did you feel like grass is greener actually never really worked out?
With the Kings, I thought the grass was greener, you know? I mean, I think
it's... And where were you coming from again? Where were you coming from? What team were you coming from? I forgot.
The Bears.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, keep going, please.
But you know what, though? But the grass was greener going to the Bears from Valencia.
No, I'm sorry. You're cutting in and out here, Lance. Oh. I can't hear you. we might have to mute your mic here. I don't believe that what you said was the grass was being pissed on by a bunch of people that were drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And how about, Randy, how about the Maple Leafs? I mean, wasn't anywhere greener than the Maple Leafs?
By the way, I got to say, so we're getting ready for my son to go back and play another year of hockey back east. And so in trying to get prepped for this, mostly he's been doing like dry land, you know, stuff, strength, conditioning and things like that. But he's done, you know, a skate here and there. And we did a skate, and it happened to be at the Cube.
And I'm sorry about that. We really got to say, make it better. Yeah, go ahead.
The Cube, boy, if that man, have things changed. I was looking at the schedule, and fully half of the ice times were being taken up by Bears. And I was just thinking, man, Randy, have you been there recently? Now, I know you haven't.
Luckily, I have not. But just so you know, if the Bears were to come up, and if the Bears were to take over Valencia, let's just say that happened. Let's say all the little Bear Cubs came up. I think they'd be forced to leave like their beer cups and their you know, their second cousin, you know, like relationships in Burbank before they came up, wouldn't they? I mean, wouldn't they?
Well, there's a whole bar up there in that queue.
I know, but on the way into Valencia, wouldn't they have to surrender some of their more unsavory habits on the way up?
They probably wouldn't be able to, you know, quite as much with the tailgating. But,
yeah, no, I'm just hoping, you know, to be honest. Okay. In all sincerity, you know, if the Bears program expands to the point where it is getting ice in Valencia,
not just a little bit, it's okay. No, they're getting half the ice. I couldn't believe it. We were skating with the Bears.
If they're only getting half the ice, then that's not very good. You know, they should.
No. They're getting half of the ice times. Like
they
I was
be
looking
asking
at
for the full sheet of ice, Raleigh. If we're only giving,
they
them
had
half
their
the
full
piece,
sheet ice.
I don't believe that. I think you first said.
You know who was on the other
half.
Side?
Yeah,
it was high school. Then there was some Valencia. There was Valencia practice, and then there was the Bears on the Olympic rink.
Well, God bless him, Raleigh. God bless him for coming up and giving Valencia a little bit of their money.
I think there's going to be a lot of
you got to feel good. Maybe we'll all like sing Kumbaya together. Have you thought of
doesn't
that?
Doesn't it show that the Valencia stranglehold that the club used to have and their ability to kind of prevent this from happening is proven to have failed? If we really want to do some dishing.
I don't feel like that. What I heard, no? And if you really want to hear the inside shit, scoop. The guy who is manager of the Burbank rink was put up as temporary manager of the Cube when they lost their manager. And I think he just did whatever was good for his home club. I think he booked ice for these teams. Just thinking, you know, this is my main job. I might as well make these people happy. By the way, and I don't think it even is that bad as long as all the kids get to skate. You know, if Valencia had to push their own team somewhere else, then yeah, that feels pretty bad. I mean, that would be like, oh God, you guys are jerks. But if Valencia has all the ice it needs for their teams, and I remember when there was only like four teams in Valencia, now there's like 14. If they have all the time they need for those 14 teams or 11 teams or whatever the heck it is, there's no, I don't have,
I don't see how they could though. There's no way that they, you know, if they've got 14 teams, they could fill that rink all the time. Also considering that there's also figure skating and other use of the rinks.
Well, then you can need to go in.
The fact that you have about half bears is just shocking to me.
If you know this to be, I don't think it's half bear, but if it is half bears, you need to go in and do an audit of this and tell them how to run their goddamn rink better, because I'm not around to help. So please, Coach Raleigh, go in.
I'm just sitting aside, you know, watching this occur. Very interesting. There's so much also been, geez, how much movement between the teams and the coaching. Like, why don't they just go ahead and merge already? I mean,
what's Randy going to do when they become the Valencia Bears?
Well, I think I'm going to head to like the Midwest at that point. I'll probably be out in like North Dakota. I'll be up with Minot at that point. Playing some hockey around kids that have done nothing but like animal husbandry and hockey. You know, that's it. That's all they have in their life. And they're ready to just like
grown really large pigs.
Wherever Randy runs and hides, the Bears are going to follow and find him.
Oh God.
You're going to walk into Minot rink and there's going to be the Bears practicing.
Those ugly damn uniforms are going to be sitting there. Oh, did I say that again? Anyway. But I'm not playing for the Flyers anymore to a greater extent. The daughter is playing on a girls team. I actually would like it if she could play for the Flyers. But they aren't allowed, in case the people with the girls want to know this. I think they used to be allowed to play for a boys team and a girls AAA team. And we talked to the registrar at Caja, and we kind of wanted to do that, but there was no availability. They said no.
No, you cannot do that.
And we even petitioned. We even petitioned them, and we tried to get that done, and they said no. What you just said there, Raleigh, no, get out.
Yeah, you can't play for two different tier programs. Because your gender, you have a daughter that's playing one boys and one girls.
But they went a little further than I think they needed to, because then when they were done, they kicked me in the balls.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure you knew.
Square in the nuts. And I was like, wow, that's mean.
They were like, we just want you to know how resolute we are in this.
Exactly.
So please stand here for a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Legs akimbo. Anyway, so I did.
We'll deliver our
judgment upon you. thanks but no, I would like to play we weren't allowed to, so nowadays it does feel like I don't really have much skin in the game, although I do like the people at the Flyers, and I don't know the Bears really, so when I'm making fun of the Bears, I don't know anybody on those teams anymore, so it's really kind of it's a bit of a what do you call it, like a false, not false,
yeah, flag. People will paper, never understand paper well, tiger. what this might even be about, because no,
I'm
one's
still
left.
Mad yeah I'm still mad at the one dad that was so mean to my son, my oldest son, when he was there. That's who I'm mad at. You know, by the way, Bears fans, Maybe just look at me as a bit of a wounded child, because what I'm really upset at is one or two or three or four or five, actually about seven parents on this Bears team that acted like jackasses during one of my son's years there. And I was so fed up with that crowd. They were so inebriated. I don't know if they even noticed I was around. However, that was really who I'm mad at. People who are there now, I don't know you. I'm sure you're great people. I'll leave it at that.
Right. You know what I was going to say also, if people haven't already turned this episode off, Maybe we could bring this back to a little bit more universal question, which is just, I'd love if people that are willing to write into the youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com and tell us if there's some stories of clubs like this, where there's local clubs that might have merged and it didn't work, or everyone thinks that they should have merged, or they're right next to each other and it's just a bitter rivalry. I'd love to hear it. And maybe we can be apprised of stuff happening around the country and not feel like we're so, this is such a unique experience to us and personal.
Yeah, but it's not so insular. Let's face it, the world of hockey is awfully large. And that's a great idea, Coach. Great idea.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think that about wraps us up for this week. Unless Lance, is there anything else you wanted to say?
Maybe I'll post on the website where Randy could be found in case you're a Bears parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. If anybody wants to get in a car, you got a nice drive in front of you. But
you're going to have to lock
you
on.
You
want to
give
early.
Him a piece of your mind.
Go ahead. I don't mind. We did have the Am I the Asshole version, and I promised that I'd come out with this. So this was the time.
I've been looking forward to this for quite a while.
Okay. I was definitely the asshole, and it does have something to do with the Bears. So Bears parents, please, go in the other room, sit your kids, in front of a educational program or something. And, you know, just don't listen in. But, I got a call, my son was on the first line, and he stopped going to, coach's time, and he dropped down to the fourth line. And I said to myself, well, and this was also the time when we were promised one coach and we didn't get that coach and they changed that coach and we had a different coach altogether. And so I was like, you know, do I want to pay this new guy a bunch of money? Because, you know, it's not easy to pay. Lance, how much money have you paid in lessons during the lifetime of your kids? Hockey career?
It feels like about $1 million.
No, just really ballpark it. What would you guess? You're a finance guy. What would you guess?
In private lessons? Holy moly.
Private lessons.
I don't know, $20,000?
$20,000. And I think that's probably shooting a little low because your kids played a lot of hockey. But I will go with $20,000. And that's how much it costs sometimes to build up in these local programs. Because you go and you pay the coach and you know, your kid gets better or worse or whatever it is, and you know, if a really good coach is going to make him better, and that's part of the expectation.
Maybe we should just throw out that look, there's quite a range. I've seen $20, $25. I've seen, I think, quite standard is $50. I've seen $75, $80. This is for an hour. And I've seen, like, you know, people paying like $80 to maybe be part of 2, 3, 4 players. Mm-hmm. And paying the rink on top of that.
Yes.
As much as $15, $20, $25. Yep.
Well, you know,
yeah,
what
so
I'll
this,
tell you, Coach.
This is just to give you a background. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, but the other thing too, and maybe that's just a topic for another a podcast, is the fact that, you know, not all privates are equal either, because, you know, when they were young, when my boys were really, really young and just starting out, like the standard was like, you're paying $20, $25 and there's like 4 kids out there and they got a lot of hands-on attention. And then as they started getting older, all of a sudden there would be too many times when you're paying $20, $25 and there's like 30 kids out there. And regardless of what your kid's doing, the coach has no idea. He's running them through drills. And that's, you know, I could send my kid to a stick time if he's just going to skate and nobody's going to give him guidance. You know, those early days were great, because if he's got the wrong form, if he's doing something wrong, the coach is right there. He corrects him. He shows him the right way to do it. But when you're in this massive group of guys, it's just all about just doing the drill, and you could be doing things completely wrong, backwards, whatever. and you're lost in the crowd, you know, and those looking back were just complete wastes of money, you know, other than just to get them on the ice to skate. But they could have done that on their own, you know. I mean, when you're right. paying for private, you need to get somebody who's going to give you hands-on guidance about what you're doing, you know. And if you remember that the skating coach out at out in Burbank, I don't know where he's, at these days. I mean, he was awesome. Remember?
We did some workouts with him last year. I haven't talked to him this year, but yeah.
And he always wanted just one or two kids. He would let both of my sons go because they were twins, but most of the time he wanted just one guy because he could focus on him and he could really hone in on the minutia of what it takes to be have great form in skating. And that's how every coach should be, you know. Spend some one-on-one right. time with me. You know, imagine a teacher and you're paying for tutoring and there's 30 guys in the room and you only have a half hour.
That's a good point. I know a lot of coaches, well, I should say a lot, but I know coaches that like have a limit. They want four and no more, or they want six and no more.
Right.
And other coaches that sort of, well, I don't care, you know, how many sign up. And then there's the stuff that used to happen. Well, we're totally taking over from Randy's story here, but I do want to say, look, part of this, there are definitely teams. I'm not saying that I participated in this, although I may have, but there's definitely situations where people were on teams and they were doing these coaches times, not because they thought that their kids were getting better, but because they felt that if they weren't paying the coach and doing these extra things, it was going to hurt their kids' position on the team. And here's a case where maybe the supposition of this story is that exact thing happened. So I think that's all I have to say about it. I'm going to shut up and hopefully we can get the story, which I am eagerly waiting for.
It's now beginning to, you give great color and great shading to the story. Thank you both. I'm now I've forgotten where what we're talking about.
Dropped to the fourth line.
Yeah, dropped to the fourth line. Somebody up in the Bears hierarchy called me because I sent out an email saying, you know, why did my son get dropped from the first to the fourth line? And the fourth line, it was just there was four wingers, and so four wingers on the line. So every once in a while, or three wingers on the line, one center and three wingers, and so your kid wouldn't go out half the time, right? You know, it's like he'd get a shift. And
so
then,
there was actually it was worse than being on the fourth line. There was actually a spare player.
Yeah, a spare player kind of thing. So
and the age of this wasn't this like 12?
It was. I know, and so. I said, you know, why did he do this? And somebody in the upper hierarchy called me and said, you know, are you saying this is pay for play? And I was like, I don't know, but I'm asking for an explanation for this. And they got mad and they were like, well, you're saying that this guy is leveraging his position and you have to pay for it. And I was like, well, I'm not certain, but, you know, if that's the case, you should investigate. Well, then I'm going to have to fire this guy then. Then that's what you want? What you wanted to do is fire this guy? And this is where I was the asshole. Instead of saying, no, I don't want to fire the coach, I was like, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's start the proceedings. Let's get to firing this guy. And, of course, the other end just went, like, completely silent. Because they were like, well,
right.
They were not. I was like, yeah, it looks like
we're going to. They thought that you were going to say, yeah, of course not.
Yeah, no, looks like we're going to have to fire this guy. I haven't done any of the research on this, but if you're feeling like that, let's do it. Because like, well, then we're going to have to fire him, obviously, because he's doing pay for play. I was like, okay, how do we proceed? You know, I mean, is it going to be like I make the announcement or you make the announcement or how are we going to get this across to the rest of the team? Because obviously this is going to be delicate. And, you know, I knew that was not the way to handle this. You know, I should have just allowed, you know, when you're stuck in a vice, you can either, you know, scream and make a lot of noise, which is what I was doing. I was making a lot of noise rather, or you can just be very quiet about it wait for the release and then go somewhere else, you know. But this person called me, they were ahead of steam. And rather than to de-escalate what was going on, I decided, well, let's just play along with it. And of course,
they're going to give you the button, the nuclear button.
Here you go.
Here's access. I'm going to be pushing it.
I'm like, here. Okay, let me remove the cover for you here. Let me just because it's blinking under there. Go ahead. Let's see what goes on.
Was the button disconnected, as I suspect?
I don't know. This person was so pissed off by the end of the conversation that they were not all that collegial. And I think you guys can pretty well understand what that might be.
What did happen in this circumstance? I'm thinking what you're saying is you suspected all along that this was just them trying to manipulate you.
The coach was not fired,
correct?
Of course not. They were saying, our bylaws don't allow that. And I'm like, well, then maybe you should have a talk. You know what? What I would really liked if adults were in charge of the room, I would have liked somebody to call me and say, I'll get to the bottom of this. This is kind of weird. You know, first to fourth line is quite a precipitous drop. It happened right after you stopped doing the lessons. You know, even if that's not we should look into this, because I care about the way this, I care about the way the organization is perceived, but it was much it was not that. So I mean, as much as I would have liked to it to have been a kind of calm, rational discussion, but I wasn't totally calm and totally rational either. So like I said, I was not living up to my best self, that's for sure. And in that case, I was pretty much the asshole for just playing along with the conversation instead of just getting out of it and being a human being and saying, I know you're under a lot of pressure and I know you must be angry because I challenged you on this, but just think about it, see what you can do, and I'll talk to you later. I mean, that would have been a much more adult way to handle the whole situation. It just gets very hard when it's your kid and you see him, struggling with something that happens to him. And it wasn't his fault that his dad didn't, want to pay what money, you know what I mean? It was, I just felt bad. Right. I felt bad on a lot of levels myself. So I allowed it to become something that I really wish it hadn't. So
that did things get any better in the situation, or was it just a S show for the rest of the year?
Oh, it was just the long kiss goodnight. It was not never got better. The people on the team that were controlling the coach, were just mean people, and there was nobody to stand up to those people. And I thought that if you brought it up the line a bit, maybe somebody would. And I found out that up the line is just another group of people that react in a protective way, not in a productive way. So anyway, that's it, guys. I'm out. I'm spent. I need to get out of this episode before somebody else asks me. But I need to get out of it before somebody else asks me something, and it'll make me feel like, oh yeah, what could have I done? So anyway, if you don't mind, all of you, after hearing my emotional confession, maybe you need to help put me back together. You could do so by emailing youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com, youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Maybe give me your story where you had maybe something actually constructive happened out of a conversation and you really want to share it so that I'll feel better about the whole institution of youth hockey. I'd love to hear it from you. Please do so when you have time. Lance, you're going to have to cut off this recording. So do you mind doing that for me?
Sure. Goodbye. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.